When I went to bed last night, I had planned to preach a different sermon than I'm going to preach this morning. I've been working on a sermon all week while I'm gone from the book of 1 Samuel about where Saul, you know, is instructed to go kill all the Amalekites, and he doesn't. He was told to kill everything, all the people, all the animals. And he gets over there and kills most, but he brings back the best of the animals, and he brings back a king named Agag, A-G-A-G, and is disobedient, and Samuel meets him and tells him he's disobedient. Because of that disobedience, God is going to give the throne to another, to David, as we know. And my message was going to be about where Samuel took the sword and hacked up, cut in pieces, King Agag. And I thought that would be a good Father's Day sermon, because we need to cut. Well, here, let me tell you what my point was going to be, and I may preach it sometime in the future. But my point was going to be, there are things that we need to take the sword, the Word of God, and cut to pieces out of our life. And I was going to preach that this morning. And I think this is the first time this has ever happened to me. I had a dream last night, and I won't go into a lot of detail because I don't have the time. But I had a dream where my dad and I got at odds. And some things happened in that dream, and I woke up about 2 o'clock this morning just sweating, and just soaked with sweat. And I got on my knees and prayed a little bit, and the Lord said, "No, I don't want you to preach that Agag message this morning." And so I had to wake Adam up this morning, because the sermon he laid on my heart was one that I preached about 6 years ago that I feel very definitely that the Lord wants me to preach again. I called it, and I'm going to call it again this morning: Is He Your God or Is He Your Father? Is He Your God or is he Your Father? And I'm going to use as my text verse this morning the last part of verse 46 that Brother Chuck read a moment ago, where Jesus on the cross, the middle, he said 7 things when he was on the cross. The fourth one, the middle one, was this one we read here in Matthew 27, verse 46, where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, when our children get in trouble, as dads, our natural tendency is to jump in and want to help them. I mean, we want to protect them. We want to warn them about dangers to come. And when they step into those dangers, or when they step into a situation where they think that we're going to get hurt, we want to step in there beside them and help them and protect them. And as our children get older, we realize that sometimes the only way that they can learn is to let them face that situation alone and get hurt and learn from that situation. Now, when that happens, and I've found this out time and time again, it doesn't feel very good as a father. I mean, you stand there and you watch and you know they're going to get hurt. You want to get in there and help them, but if you help them, they're not going to learn the lesson that they need to learn. And so you sort of step back and you keep your hands out and you keep your words out and you let them go through and you let them learn that lesson. And I think when we as dads do that, and I know you mothers have to do the same thing at times, I think we as parents feel just a little bit about how God felt when His Son went to Calvary's cross. You know, the first recorded words of Jesus in the Bible was when He was in the temple as a 12-year-old boy, when His parents sort of left Him there, or He stayed when He should have went home. But they came back looking for Him after 3 days, and they found Him in the middle of the doctors and the wise men, and they asked Him the question, well, how could you do this to us? And Jesus said this: "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He did not say, "Hey, Mom, Dad, why are you asking me this? Don't you know I've got to be about God's business?" He didn't say that. He said, "I have to be about my Father's business." The last recorded words of Jesus in the Bible, before the resurrection, before He got His glorified body, was when He said from the cross, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." He didn't say, God, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And I wonder how many times between that first statement when he was a little 12-year-old boy in the temple and said, I've got to be about my Father's business, and that last statement when he said, Father, when he was about to die, when he was about to go to heaven, when he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, I wonder how many times he referred to God as his Father. I mean, we can open the New Testament. We can read verses like Matthew 7:21, where Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. He said in Matthew 18, verse 10, in heaven angels do always behold the face of my Father. He said in Matthew 25, verse 34, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In Luke 24, 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, in that particular statement, he could have said and would have had, I think, of course, I don't think like God thinks. My mind is not as high as his. I mean, I would have think that statement where he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. It would have had much more impact if he would have said, behold, I send the promise of my God upon you. The God that made the heavens and the earth. The God that can keep every promise. But he didn't say that. He said, I send the promise of my Father upon you. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. John 20:21, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. Literally hundreds of times, thousands of times, between that statement as a little 12-year-old boy and that statement of a 33-year-old man that was about to die and go to heaven, between those two statements, literally thousands of times, Jesus referred to God as his Father. And Reg, I want you to think about this. I know you study. I can only think of one time, the time here that we've read, where Jesus referred to God as God and not my Father. Just one time. In that whole life of between 12 and 33, thousands of times where he said, my Father, my Father, my Father, and only one when he said, my God. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying that night before he was crucified, six times he called upon his Father, not his God, his Father. And so we come to this statement. And again, I want you to check me out. I mean, I haven't read the Gospels with this perspective in mind, but I want you to notice. See if you can find one other time where Jesus referred to God as God and not my Father. I don't know. Maybe there's others. But what made the difference? What happened that for all of his earthly life, Jesus referred to God as his Father, and for this one time, as he hung on the cross, he changed, and instead of calling God Father, he said, my God, my God. Well, it goes back. I mean, it not only goes back, but I think you can find the answer in the verse itself. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You go back and you study that word forsaken in the Greek, and you'll find out that that word means disowned. It means you're not my son anymore. I disinherit you. I disenfranchise you. I don't want anything else to do with you. And when Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What he was saying to God was, why have you turned your back on me? Why have you disenfranchised me? Why have you disowned me? Why have you disinherited me? Why? Because you see, all throughout eternity, Brother Clint, stand up just for a second. God the Father, God the Son, they were one. They enjoyed fellowship. I mean, in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it said that God created man in His image. Part of that picture is a three-part God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We'll let you be the Holy Spirit, Dave. And so, a three-part God, and God created man in a three-part way, body, soul, and spirit. And for all eternity, God the Father and God the Son had a fellowship, had a relationship. They were Father and Son. I mean, we learn, God uses that picture to tell us what it's like between Him and Jesus. I mean, and as we have a relationship with our Son, we can see what God the Father and God the Son enjoyed. And they were close. I mean, we talked about it a few weeks ago when I preached on this. Hey, you want to know what God's like? Find out about Jesus. You want to know the characteristics of God? Look at the characteristics of Jesus. They were one. They were one. But something happened. And you that have been here, you know where I'm going because you know what's going to happen. But something happened that caused Jesus to change his salutation to God. All the other times. I mean, the first thing that he said from the cross was, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The last thing he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But right in the middle, he said, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, here's why. Here's why. At that, thank you, Brother Clint, you can sit down. I'll have you stand up again in just a second. At that particular moment, God had taken all of my sins and all of your sins and laid them on Christ. You see, the first thing he said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I'm going to get mixed up because the second and the third were these. And Reg, I may not have them in the right order. You can help me afterwards if I get them wrong. The second thing he said was, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. Talking about Mary, asking John to take care of him, to take care of his mother. Third thing he said was to the dying thief beside him, hey, you'll be with me in paradise today. Now, he was still God's son at that point. I mean, he was not disowned. But when he got to the middle saying was when God began to do the business of the cross. He took all of my sins, he took all of your sins, and he laid them on Jesus. As he hung there on the cross, he had all of our sins heaped upon him. And when God saw our sin, and look, Jesus didn't commit any sin. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And when God took all of our sins and put him on Jesus Christ, God the Father, when he saw that sin, had to do something that he'd never done before in all eternity. Brother Clint, stand up one more time. God took all of Dave's sins and all of Sam's sins and all of Bill's sins and he put them on Jesus. And when God saw those sins, God did something that he'd never done before. He turned his back on Jesus. And in so doing, he said, you're not my son anymore. I've disowned you. I've disinherited you. And for the first time for all eternity, as Jesus hung on the cross, he could not say, Father, Father, because he was no longer his father. He had to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Stand up just for a minute, Brother Clint. Just stand just like that. The fifth thing he said on the cross was, I thirst. I thirst. And I think what he was doing, now again, God still had his back on him. He was still bearing the sins of every single person that's ever lived. And when Jesus said, "I thirst," I think what was happening is he was dipping his soul into hell. He was suffering the hell that every single one of us should have to suffer because of our sins. And then he said, "It is finished." Now we read that in the Bible, unless you know what went on back in the Jewish history, you don't get the full meaning of it. Once a day, once a year, 10th day of the 9th month, the high priest would take the sacrifice to pay for the sins of the Jewish people into the Holy of Holies. They would take the blood from that sacrifice and they would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And when the high priest got done atoning for the sins of all of Israel on that one day, when they got through sprinkling the blood, when they got through offering the price for sin as God defined it, they would cry out for all the people to hear that were gathered outside the tabernacle, "It is finished! It is finished! The price for our sin has been paid for another year." And when Jesus hung on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished! Your sins have been paid for." And when that happened, God the Father turned back around, and the last thing that Jesus said from the cross was, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Thank you, Brother Clint. Now here's the question this morning. Here's the point of the whole message this morning. Is God your God, or is he your Father? I will tell you this morning that for every single person in this room, he is our God. He created us. He sustains us. We live today because there's a God in heaven that wants us to live. We breathe his air. We walk on his earth. We enjoy his sunshine. We eat his food. We drink his water. He is, whether you will admit it or not, whether you will acknowledge it or not, God is your God. All those people that say there is no God, that God is dead, that God doesn't exist. I like what Paul said. He said, "One day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord." You may not admit it today, but there will come a day, my friend, when you will bow your knee and you will know that there is a God. Amen. He is your God this morning. The most important question, though, is he your Father? Is he your Father? See, the only way that he can be your Father is if you take care of your sins. A holy, righteous God cannot tolerate sin. He loves the sinner. I mean, that's what John 3:16 is all about. "For God so loved the world that he disinherited his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never be disinherited." That's why he sent Jesus. He's your God this morning, but he's only your Father if your sins have been paid for and you've received the payment. Your sins have been paid for. Jesus paid it all. The question is, have you received the payment? Have you taken the payment? Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And you do not come to the Father by joining a church. You do not come to the Father by getting baptized. You do not come to the Father by taking communion. All of those are good things, but they don't take care of sin. The wages of sin is death. "But God commendeth," or proved his love toward us, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He died in our place. Now, God's your God this morning, but I got some wonderful news for you. He wants to be your Father. He wants to be your Father. I want to tell you something. It's wonderful having God for your Father. It's wonderful to be able, when your grandson goes into the hospital, Janine, right? Jim, right? to be able to go to a God and say, Father, I need you. My grandson needs you. You've heard, you've said it, and I've said it hundreds of times. I don't know how people that don't know God in a personal way, that don't know Jesus, I don't know how they make it. I don't know how they make it when things are normal. Joan, I don't know how they make it when things get tough. I just don't know. I don't know. It's like, I can remember three times in my life where I got into a situation where I did not know what to do. I've talked about one of them. You know, those of you who have been coming, I've shared one of them with you. The other two, I've not shared with anybody. Three times in my life when I did not know what to do. And I'm glad that I had a dad that I could go to and say, hey, I'm in trouble. I don't know what to do. I need some help. And I'm glad I had a dad that was there to help me. But I tell you what, I've gone hundreds of times, thousands of times to my heavenly daddy. I said, Daddy, I don't know what to do. There's people hurt. I don't know how to help them. There's people that have problems, and I don't know how to help them. I need your help. And thousands of times without fail, Joe, I've got an answer from heaven. Still waiting on some of them, by the way, but thousands of times I've got an answer from heaven. And I want to tell you from personal experience, it's wonderful to have not only a God, but a Father God. And if you're here this morning and you can only say, well, I will acknowledge that He's my God, I want to invite you to make Him your Father. And the only way you can do that is to come to Christ and let Him pay for your sins. Would you do that this morning? If you've never trusted Jesus and say, hey, you see, stand up one more time, Brother Clinton. I won't ask you again. If God has His back turned on me and I come up to Him and I say, hey, God, I got baptized this morning in a Baptist church. This is what will happen. Hey, God, I took the Lord's Supper this morning in a Baptist church. Hey, God, I decided this week to turn over a new leaf, and I'm going to live a good life the rest of my life. Hey, God, I asked your Son to be my Savior this week, and I trusted Him to take care of my sins and take me to heaven. And here's what happens. God turns around and He says, welcome to the family, my son. Welcome to the family. Thank you, Brother Clint. That's what He'll do for you this morning. If you'll come and you'll ask Jesus to be your Savior, He'll do exactly what we pictured just that moment. He'll turn around, He'll throw His arms around you. He'll say, welcome home. Welcome home. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Wonderful love story of what you did for us when you sent Jesus to die for us. I can't think of a better day than Father's Day 2004 for somebody that doesn't know Christ to come and get right. They can come just like they are. There's no preconditions. All they got to do is come and admit they're a sinner and believe that Jesus paid the price for them. And so I pray for that man, that woman, that young person that might be here this morning that's never made that decision. Maybe they've been here over and over. Maybe this is their first time, but they've never trusted Christ. And I pray you'll help them see this morning the only way that they can get their sins taken care of, the only way they can have God as their Father is to come to Christ. And I pray you'll help them do that this morning. Bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.